Academic Aesthetic, recorded on Saturday, June 23rd, 2007. I'm Aaron Smith, the Art Guy, and I'm coming up for air. All right, first order of business, I'd like to partially apologize for the long delay between my last podcast and today. Partially apologize because the first few weeks, I'm not going to feel sorry for. It was the end of the school year, a lot of work needed to be done, so I put my priorities where they belong. Then we had Father's Day, and it was a nice trip up to Pennsylvania and back again. Got to see my father and my father-in-law, as well as my mother and my sisters and a few friends, and it was a pretty good trip. I enjoyed it. Now, I don't get to go online as much when I'm in Pennsylvania as I do when I'm here at home, or when I'm in school, for a matter of fact, so I was sort of unplugged. And you know what? I liked it. I liked not being able to check my email every 5 minutes. I liked not having to worry about certain online responsibilities, the blog, Twitter, Jaiku, stuff like that. Didn't have to worry about that because I couldn't worry about that. There was nothing I could do about it anyway. So, hey, no problem. On top of that, in August, I'm going to be moving. Just finalized a deal for an apartment. We're going to be moving closer to where I work and where my wife works. So, yeah, a lot going on. Now, recently, for a birthday present, my wife got me World of Warcraft. And since she got me that game, which I installed it on my computer this week, Thursday as a matter of fact, well, from there on out, I do apologize for not getting anything done, because that is my fault. I'm not going to blame the game. I'm not going to blame my wife. It's all me. I tend to, when I get a new toy, really focus on it. If I get a new song, either downloaded from a website where I could get it for free, or downloaded from iTunes. By the way, when I say free, I mean free and legal. I don't do piracy. It's not my thing. As an artist, I do not agree with taking somebody else's work and not giving them credit for it or financial reimbursement if that's what the artist wants. So, RIA, don't touch me. I don't steal music. Basically, when I get a song, I listen to it constantly because it's new and I'm going to break it in. And with World of Warcraft, it's new. So I'm playing it a lot. I already have two characters. One of them, let me check, I've got it open right now actually. I'm not logged in, but I've got a level 13 character and a level 6 character. And that's from Thursday. And that includes time for sleeping and spending time with my wife and exercising and other stuff too. So, I'm not spending every moment on the game, but I've apparently spent a lot. Speaking of new toys, this is being recorded on a new toy. Now, the bad news is all the Discovery Chain stores are getting closed because they're going to focus more on their online store. I think that is a horrible idea on their part. I think the Apple stores are one of the reasons why Apple is continuing to do really, really well in the marketplace compared to other computer chains. So, I don't know why Discovery is choosing to do that. But the good news is, since they're closing, they're getting rid of all their inventory. And I got a new MP3 player from Creative for a really good price. This is the 2GB, and let me turn this around to make sure I get this right. The Creative Zen V Plus. So it does play video, although from my understanding it only does AVI files, which is kind of weird considering that you'd at least expect MP4. I haven't really tried to put any of my own movies on it, other than MP4, and my software says it's not compatible. so I don't know. Maybe there's another program that makes it compatible, or that knows it's compatible, but not the software that I'm using. It does show pictures, it does play MP3s, WAV files. I think it has one or two different kinds of copy protection it supports, obviously not stuff from the Apple Store. The thing that I like the best about it is that it records. Now, it doesn't just record with a built-in microphone like I'm doing now, but it also has a line-in jack, which you don't often see on MP3 players, particularly the really, really small ones. So, I'm really happy about that, and I intend to use that. The amusing thing is, on the box it actually says that the line-in jack is so that you can plug it into your CD player and make recordings. Just in case you don't have a computer, you can move them over and save them as digital files without worrying about it. I don't think the RIAA would appreciate that, but Creative is a Canadian company, last I heard, so I guess they don't care. If you buy any media on which you can record things in Canada, you pay a royalty fee automatically. They assume you're going to make copies of copyrighted material, so they already collect a royalty for that, so it's already taken care of up there. They have different laws. Well, that's my second order of business. Oh, wait, one more thing about the Creative Player. Be warned, my first Creative MP3 player I really liked, I plugged it into my computer and it showed up as a flash drive. I dragged the files over onto it using basically the Finder, the Macintosh operating system's interface. Just dragged them over and it worked and it was beautiful. This player does not show up on my desktop. It doesn't even recognize that it exists, which had me really upset. But as I was looking for alternatives, while I was in the please say it isn't so bargaining stage of I spent how much on this and it doesn't work, I mean, I got it really cheap, but it was still over $100. Well, there is a program that I found, thanks to an article on Wikipedia, actually, called XNJB, and I will post a link to it in the show notes. If you have a Mac and you have a Creative Player that you want to work with the Mac, this is a program for you. It doesn't work for all of them, but it works pretty well for this little thing. And it's free. It's under a GNU license. So, let's hear it for open source software, everyone. And now that wraps up item two. Item three, the main point that I want to get through with this recording, is about copyright. Now, I am censorship, which has something to do with copyright, but mostly censorship. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so everything I say here is based on my own personal opinions. If I get close to talking about law, then ignore it, because I don't know everything. And I'm constantly reminded of this fact. There are two things that happened recently that made me start to think about censorship. One was an email that I'm not going to talk that much about because I don't think it's mine to share. I haven't really asked for permission to share it. And the other is a, for want of a better word, fiasco that Flickr has had happen. Now, Flickr has filtering options, similar to Google's Safe Search options, where you can turn the filter up all the way so nothing bad will get through, and you can also open it up as much as you want so that anything gets through, and then there's that little thing in the middle, which is usually the default, where some stuff might get through but other stuff won't. Well, the default in the United States, if you start a Flickr account, is right in the middle. But just like the default for Google is right in the middle. Now, I turn my setting all the way up because I don't want the wrong person to be looking over my shoulder. I almost misspoke there. I don't know what I was about to say. Right when I type in something and it could be taken more than one way, and the wrong way ends up with a lot of pictures that I really didn't want them to see. This would be especially bad if there was a student involved, although I don't really use Flickr with my students right now. I think with this filtering system that they've installed, which is, from what I hear, actually a recent thing, I might start using Flickr a little bit more with them. Just because you turn it all the way up, it's gonna block most stuff, if not everything. It becomes very safe. And people who upload photos can mark how they think the photo should be rated, but also if you see a photo that is not kid friendly or kid safe or could be considered offensive, you can l check a little flag and it'll ask you for a little more information, and that means that Flickr members can also take care of it. And the Flickr staff can also take care of that. So you've got a lot of people policing Flickr. And I think that really helps it out. The fiasco comes because for certain countries, they decided to turn off the ability to adjust that filtering system, and they set it on the maximum filtering. This was done, from my understanding, to correspond with local laws, either child protection laws or censorship laws or whatever, it depends on the country. And they started getting a lot of flack from people in Germany about this. Now, this could be considered freedom of speech. This could be considered a lot of things. Personally, I like turning up the censorship for educational use. I personally have it turned up all the way. So if I was in Germany, it really wouldn't affect me too much because my settings would still be the same and I'm not changing them anyway. But I think that people who are over 18 really should have that choice. There's a lot of artwork, and I use the term strict, strictly. There's a lot of artwork out there that does involve certain things that maybe I wouldn't want to show to little kids. Don't believe me? Take a look at some of the pictures from the Sistine Chapel. Take a look at some of the sculptures by Michelangelo. Great works of art, but, I'm not going to delve into that too much. And people should have the right to choose, if they're old enough, whether or not they're going to see that, whether or not they're going to have that shown to them. Me personally, if I upload a photo, I can decide whether or not it's going to be uploaded. That's totally up to me. If I think maybe it should not be seen to the world, I usually don't even upload it. If it's an embarrassing picture of my sister, well then I'll upload it. But I'm a brother, so I sort of have to. But I can post it as friends only. I can post it as family only, so that only certain people will be able to see it, and it won't be as embarrassing to that sister. I have two of them. I have more opportunities to embarrass one of them more than the other. But that's a long, drawn-out story that I'm not going to get into. I hope you're chuckling at that right now. Oh well. Brothers might be chuckling at it, sisters might be frowning. Moving on. When I'm blogging, I can choose what I'm going to say. This goes to Steve Dembo's posts and lectures on the permanent record again, where think about what you write, think about what photos you upload, because this could come back to haunt you. Well, you have total control over your photo and whether or not it gets uploaded. After that point, you might not have as much control over it, but going from your computer to the internet, you have control over that. You have control over what words go from your mind into your fingers, onto your website, and get posted that way. You have total control over that. The problem, and the main focus of this discussion, took me a while to lead up to it, but the main focus of the discussion is when you link to another site. The moment you link to another site, you lose control. you are giving control to the people who maintain that other site. Now, this could be good, or this could be bad. If I am posting a link to CNN.com, I would hope that the content there would be safe for kids. If I am posting a link to my county's website, I am almost certain that the content there is safe for kids. If I post a link to a webcomic I found that has a really funny comic that a lot of teachers and students will look at and laugh, I better have read every comic in the archive to make sure it's safe. And even then, there's no guarantee that the comic that gets posted after that is going to be safe. Now, in some regards, if it's syndicated, they have certain rules they have to follow. For better or for worse, or Dilbert, or things like that. Did I say Dilbert? I think I did. It's Dilbert. Well, they're syndicated comics, but they also have online versions. And because of that, you can be pretty sure they're going to be safe. There are other webcomics out there. Some of them have been posted recently by other people that have stuff on them that's not so safe. As a matter of fact, I've gone through and found some stuff that was really, really inappropriate. So, while I might send an email to another teacher with a link to the comic and say, hey, this is pretty funny, I won't be posting that link on my website because I know students read it. The question, however, is where to draw the line. Obviously, if you link to a page that page itself has inappropriate content, that's going to be bad. But where do those sites link to? How far back in the archives is that inappropriate comic? Are you certain that someone's going to see it if you link there? This is a decision that I cannot make for other people, and I'm not even going to try. My personal opinion is that if there's any thought in my head that webcomic artist is going to have inappropriate material, I don't link to it. Means a lot of funny comics don't end up getting linked to. Don't end up getting promoted by me. Because for the most part they're safe, but every now and then That webcomic artist realizes that they are under no FCC regulations, they are under no syndicate regulations or criteria, so they can put something on their website that is not exactly kid-friendly and they can get away with it. And you know what? More power to them, but it keeps me from linking to them. But what if they link to somebody else? What if they have a banner ad for another site? And I'm going to stick on webcomics here for my example, because I happen to read a lot of them. Let's say I link to one webcomic. Their entire archive is spotless. They're trying for syndication, so there's nothing inappropriate in it whatsoever, and it's really, really funny. But they have a banner ad, and that banner ad links to another webcomic. That's often the case. One webcomic artist will buy ads based on another webcomic artist's page to promote themselves because they're looking for people who read webcomics, and where do you want to advertise on another webcomic? It works out pretty well for them. Maybe that webcomic isn't safe. So with one click, they're at the safe webcomic. Two clicks away from my site, they're at something inappropriate. Where do you draw the line? I used to use Furl a lot to link to things, to save links. You know, anything I thought was interesting, I put it in my Furl account. I actually had it set up so that my recent Furl links, and if you don't know what Furl is, it's like Delicious, a bookmarking website. All my recent Furl links actually showed up on my website at one time. It auto-updated. I was going through the archives at one point looking for something, and I found a link that I sort of remembered bookmarking, but I didn't remember the content that was on it, so I clicked on it, and I found something that was not something I would have ever bookmarked. Apparently, their website had either been hijacked or they had changed it themselves, and what it had been changed to, hopefully by somebody else and not the person who started the site, was something that was incredibly inappropriate for students. And there it was in my Furl account. I immediately hit the back button and deleted the link. Don't even ask me where it is. I forget. And I'm glad I forget. But I felt very embarrassed personally because that had been in there. And if someone had been browsing my archives, if a student had been browsing my Furl archives, they would have found that. Now, maybe they would have clicked on it, maybe they wouldn't have, but it would have been possible to get to it from content that technically I was supposed to be managing. So when you link to something, you're not only linking to something that moment, you're linking to something 3 months from now, and 6 months from now, and 2 years from now. What's going to happen if they lose their domain and it's bought by a company that basically markets inappropriate material? I've had people email me about that, actually. Not for my current website, but for one I did a while ago. It was basically science fiction links, because I happen to read a lot of science fiction. You might remember that if you've listened to enough of my podcasts. Apparently, they had stopped maintaining the site, and they never bothered to renew the domain. The domain was bought up by a company that makes, shall we say, content that's not for students. And there I was, still linking to it on my website. Well, the person who had let the site go, on a whim, checked the domain and found out who was managing it now. And they also found out that I was linking to it, and they sent me a very polite email asking that I take the link down. Naturally, I did so immediately. This is a very tricky topic, and I don't have a default answer. Of course, the safest thing to do was not link to anything. But wouldn't that sort of, you know, go away from how we expect the internet to work, how we expect blogs to work, all that connectivity, all that social interaction? Where do you draw the line? Well, that's it for this recording. I'm going to try posting this without editing it too much. I'll probably just convert it to MP3 and throw it online to see what happens. You know, throwing it against a wall and see if it sticks. I'm not entirely sure about the quality of this recording. I'm hoping it works well. I've done more than one test recording. Some of them work really well, some of them don't. The variable seems to be how close this is to my mouth and how loudly I'm speaking. So I can't really turn a gain switch on or off for this thing. Oh well. But moving on, this has been The Academic Aesthetic. I'm your host, Aaron the Archive Smith, and until next time, stay subscribed, fare thee well, and no really, I can Apple Q at any time.